Morning. You know, I went to get my bottle of water this morning, and I was just a little disappointed. Okay, there's another one up here. Good. That's barely a drink, isn't it? But hey, you know, yesterday we celebrated our independence, right? I always love it when the 4th of July is on a Saturday because for a couple reasons. One is because then yesterday we celebrated our independence. Today we celebrate our dependence, right? Our dependence on God. I also love it when 4th of July is on Saturday because it's a great anniversary for Arlene and I. We actually started dating on July the 4th, 1980. So 40 years ago was Arlene and I's first date. My sister let me borrow her special edition black and gold T-top Trans Am for that first date. Yes. Arlene was so disappointed when she found out a week or so later that that wasn't my car. But that car did get me a second date and a first kiss, okay? But I think about that July 4th because I don't know if I ever told you or not, we actually went to a 4th of July celebration at Bullitt Park in Big Stone Gap, Virginia, which is where she lived, 17 miles from my hometown in Pennington. And her dad was the president of the Lions Club that year. And he came and asked her, said, "Honey, we've ran out of people to get in the dunking booth. Would you mind getting in the dunking booth?" And Arlene's like, "Dad, I'm on a date with this guy for the first time." And but he talked her into getting in the dunking booth. And I was so glad. Yes, I did. I heard somebody say, "No, you didn't," but yes, I did. I got at the front of the line. Actually, I made this little kid let me go first because I wanted to have a shot. Yeah, and I had like five balls, and I dunked her like four times. It was amazing I ever got a second date, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, but wow! I look back on that, and it's hard to believe that it's been that long ago. Hey, I'm really excited over the next few weeks to share with you this new teaching series entitled "God Didn't Say That." I put this on Facebook yesterday on our church page, and one of our members here commented on it and said, "Wow, that sounds really interesting." Does that sound interesting to you? It really does, doesn't it? God didn't say that, because there's a lot of things that we attribute to God in the Bible. There's even things that we quote, and I'm going to share some of them with you over the next few weeks, that we say God said, but really he didn't. Now, let me set this up by saying this. Did you know that 65% of people believe that the Bible has the answers to every situation or most situations, most questions that people have about life? The basic questions of life, 65% say the Bible will answer those. But did you know that 44% of people say that the Bible, the Quran, and the Book of Mormon all teach the very same things? They say the very same kinds of truths about God. Did you know that Barna said that only 60% of Americans can name just half of the Ten Commandments? You want to give you a test? I won't do that, but think about that. 63% can't name the four Gospels of the New Testament. And over 30%, 31% said that people can earn by living a good life, that they can earn themselves a spot in heaven. And did you know that 81% actually believe that God said in his word, that this is a direct quote from the Bible, "God helps those who help themselves"? Now, some of you might be saying, "Well, that's exactly right. The Bible does say that." No, it doesn't. Nowhere does the Bible say God helps those who help themselves. I read about some years ago, Bill O'Reilly. You remember him? He's on Fox News. He had a very popular show there called The No Spin Zone, The Bill O'Reilly Show. And supposedly he said on that show one night when he was interviewing a pastor from New York City about the work with the homeless people in New York City, Bill O'Reilly said this. Let me get this right. He said, quote, Bill O'Reilly told the pastor, quote, Jesus would have demanded that those homeless people shape themselves up or else, because we all know the Bible says the Lord helps those who help themselves. Now, that pastor that night didn't call Bill O'Reilly out, didn't embarrass him there on his own show. But we can use that this morning to encourage ourselves that God never said that. God, it never said in the Bible that God helps those that help themselves. It's just not there. Matter of fact, I've just got a couple examples here, but you can see this throughout the whole Bible, that God says something very different from that. Look at this passage in 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. It says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. This is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. God helps those that help themselves. Does that sound even remotely close to that? Of course not. Or how about this passage in James? James chapter 4, verse 10. The Bible says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. God helps those that help themselves. No, the Bible says that God will lift us up. Now, real simple outline that I want to use this morning. I want to talk to you about this phrase, God helps those who help themselves. And I want to talk to you about how that is a half-truth. And then about how we can sometimes believe a lie, that it's a lie. And then I want to talk to you about the truth of that. So let's go back and talk about the half-truth. Most of these Bible misquotes contain a degree of truth. I mean, you certainly know, don't you, that a broken clock is right twice a day. There's always an element of truth in that. There's a measure of truth in the saying, but it's not the full truth. Most people attribute this saying to who, do you know? Ben Franklin. Ben Franklin actually wrote this in something that he wrote way back in 1735. But most people know that didn't originate with him. He popularized it. That this saying actually goes back to a fable, to Aesop's fable. It says this: a wagoner was once driving a heavy load along a very muddy path. He came to a part of the road where the wheels sank halfway into the mire, and the more the horses pulled, the deeper sank the wheels. So the wagoner threw down his whip, knelt down, and prayed to Hercules and said, oh, Hercules, great Hercules, help me in my hour of distress. But Hercules appeared to him and said, man, don't sprawl there. Get up and put your shoulder to the wheel. The gods help them that help them themselves. It's not in the Bible. But there's a half-truth there. 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, we gave you this rule, if a man will not work, he shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle, they are not busy, they are busybodies, lazy, good for nothing. Such people we commend and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat. Now imagine just for a moment what he's trying to say here, because while God helps those that help themselves is not in the Bible, But there is this teaching in the Bible that says, listen, God will not bless you if you are lazy. God will not bless you if you do not put an effort into life that way. And we've all met people like that, haven't we? We've all met slackers who created this need to misquote this passage of Scripture. I remember once I had a job when I was in high school, and this other teenager was working the same job with me, and he used to make me just irate because he would literally just piddle away his entire day, and the rest of us, we would work hard, we would get things done, and then he would do next to nothing and then expect to receive whatever, pay, accolades, a thank you. And it used to just get under everybody's crawl who was working hard. Now, you know what that's like. Proverbs 6:6-7 says, you lazy fool, look at the ant. Let it teach you a thing or two. Nobody has to tell it what to do. All summer it stores up food. So how long are you going to laze around doing nothing? How long before you get out of the bed? Teacher was using that particular passage to teach the youngsters in Sunday school one day, and the teacher said something like this: boys and girls, every day the little ant gets up and goes to work. Every day the ant works hard. And in the end, what happens to the ant? And little Johnny raises his hand and says he gets stomped on. Right? Some of you may feel that way, that we, you know, we work hard, we're not lazy, we put our effort in, but then the world just kind of stomps on us. See, there's a measure of truth in this misquote, but it's only a half truth. Because most of the time, people that quote this or use this quote are just referring to people in a negative light. Nobody ever quotes this saying in a positive way. Most of the time they use it to criticize or to put down someone else's effort. You see, that's the danger of a half-truth. But really it goes deeper than that. Really, this is just an outright lie. This self-help is not the best help. You see, this statement is dangerous for a number of reasons, but one of the reasons that we can say is that it promotes this idea of self-help, that some think that all they need is their own initiative and their own abilities. You know, the whole self-help genre is big in our society. You want to know how big? Just go to any bookstore and go to the self-help section and start reading some of the titles. Believe it or not, way back in 1967, Dr. Thomas Harris wrote a book titled I'm Okay and You're Okay. And that actually born this whole idea about self-help. And in that section, in any library, you will find any library, any bookstore, you will find literally hundreds of titles developed or devoted to helping you help yourself. For example, I came across this humorous list of suggested self-help book titles. Here's the first one. Number one, Chickenless Soup for the Vegetarian Soul. You can find anything out there. Or how about this one, 7,000 Habits of Highly Compulsive People. Or how about this one, The Joy of Sex, S-E-C-T-S. Don't mishear that. The Joy of Sex, Choosing the Right Religious Cult. Or how about this one, maybe you can get this one for Christmas, Stupidity for Dummies, I'm Okay, But You're in Big Trouble. Or how about this one? Men are from Mars and women are from hell. Certainly written by a man, I'm sure, right? Or this is my personal favorite, Teaching Yourself to Read. or how to lose 5 pounds in 6 years, or how to rip people off by writing self-help books, right? You see, these kinds of books and seminars, they're designed to give people self-assurance, to give people self-confidence, for them to be able to take on the world with nothing more than their own ingenuity. And there's dangers to this, folks. It is a lie of the devil. Let me give you a couple of dangers. The first one is simply that it makes us arrogant. That it makes us arrogant, that we begin to go through life thinking that we don't need anyone else, that we don't need anything else, and ultimately that we don't need God, that we have everything that we need inside of us. God helps those that help themselves. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says we need Him. We need each other. And it's a lie for us to believe anything else than that. Did you ever hear the story about Muhammad Ali? You know, and I mean, I'm from that generation. I remember when Muhammad Ali was at the height of his career. And what was he always saying? I'm the greatest. Isn't it sad, really, the way his life ended? I mean, I am the greatest, but yet he became so weak and so dependent on other people. I heard one time that he actually got on an airplane at the height of his popularity. And he sat down in the seat, and the stewardess came over and the flight attendant and said, sir, you'll need to buckle your seatbelt. And he looked at her and said, ma'am, I'm Superman. I don't need a seatbelt. And she said, yeah, but Superman flew everywhere too, and he didn't need a plane. Buckle your seatbelt. You see, we may not understand what we need, but it is still there. We're all born with this self-centeredness, this kind of personality devoted to promote ourselves, to promote who we are, to create our own little self-centered universe. We can see it. I'll tell you where you can see it today. Just look at professional athletes and three-year-olds. You know, I was with our granddaughter recently, and she was trying to do something. All I was doing was trying to help her. You know what she said? No, no. Now, that was the only word that she really could say, but what she was saying is, no, I don't need your help. I can do it myself. You see, that's the way we are. It's human nature. We want to think that we can do anything. And when we've done something, we're proud of ourselves, and we want people to notice that. When we accomplish something, we want to take all the credit. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says it is God who gives us the ability to accomplish anything. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 8:17, remember this verse, Deuteronomy 8:17, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. I mean, have you ever wondered about that? That with just a few brain cells rearranged by the hand of God, our life could be totally different. You see, we need to give credit where credit is due. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:5, God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. We need to be on our guard about this lie that the devil, that the world is trying to get us to believe. But here's the second thing. Self-assurance also makes you forget your dependence on God. Think about that. It makes you arrogant. It also makes you understand that maybe you don't need God the way you think you do. It makes you forget how important it is that you depend on God. If you believe God helps those that help themselves, then you probably have convinced yourself that you can handle most everything that happens to you in life on your own. I mean, if we believe that God helps those that help themselves, that's what I should live by, then what we are saying is that I don't need God very often. That as long as I can help myself, the things that I can do, I will do, and we will find ourselves in this place where we don't seek God very much. Why bother God when you're facing things in life that you can handle by yourself? That I don't need to turn to God unless I am really up against the wall, unless I'm really in a pickle. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Listen to this. Jeremiah 17, 5. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the strong one who depends on mere humans, who thinks he can make it on muscle alone and sets God aside as dead weight. Now that's the message of that passage of Scripture. But we think we don't need God. Some people think that they can trust their own muscles. Some people can think that they can trust their own mind. God helps those who help themselves. It is a lie. It's a lie that may lead someone to think that maybe God needs our help instead of us needing His help. Matter of fact, there's a great story about this in the Old Testament, and I won't spend too much time on it because you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the story of Abraham and Sarah. And Sarah was barren even though God had promised them an heir, a son. And Sarah got to the point that she thought, well, maybe not. Maybe it's not that I need God's help. Maybe God needs my help. And that's when she introduced this whole issue, situation with Hagar, laying with Abraham, having a child. And if I could go back in time and just approach Sarah, I would ask her, Sarah, how did that work out for you? Because although Ishmael became the father of all the Arab people, an angel told Hagar, Ishmael would be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone and everyone's hand against him, and he will live in hostility toward all his brothers. Genesis 16, verse 12. You see, when we get to the point where we think that we should help God rather than us depend on him, it takes us to a very dark place. And when we try to take things into our own hands and help God with the result that we think that maybe even we think that He wants, there's this danger of self-assurance. Our plans become a substitute for God's plan. And God wants us to live a much different way. So think about it. God helps those that help themselves. It's a half-truth. But it's also a lie that the devil uses us to make us arrogant and not to depend on God. Now let's talk about the truth. The truth is, the lie is that God helps those that help themselves. The truth is, God helps the helpless. I mean, those people who think they have enough power to help themselves, they'll try. They'll not seek God for His help. But then the Lord's response to those who cry out to Him for help is that He will be there for them. You see, there's things that we can do to find help from God. Let me offer you a couple. Number one, we can admit, or we should admit, that we're powerless to help ourselves. We're powerless to help ourselves. Now listen, folks, that's not as easy to hear as just mere words. It's difficult to admit that we need help. That's why men are notoriously lost, because they refuse to ask for help, to ask for directions. They don't want to admit that they've lost their way and they need someone to help them get on track. In our culture, we admire these self-made individuals, this do-it-yourself society. But listen, folks, when it comes to the things that really matter, when it comes to things like salvation, You can't do it yourself. You're powerless to do it yourself because you are a sinner in need of God's help. Chuck Swindoll, in his book entitled The Grace Awakening, writes about this very subject. Listen to this. He said, quote, "I consider the most dangerous heresy on earth the emphasis on what we do for God instead of what God does for us. Some are so convinced of the opposite, they would argue nose to nose. They are often the ones who claim that their favorite verse of Scripture is God helps those who help themselves. The fact is, God helps the helpless, the undeserving, those who don't measure up, those who fail to achieve His standard. Nevertheless, the heresy continues louder than ever in history. Most people see themselves as masters of their own fate, captains of their own souls, and why not? It supports humanity. It supports humanity's all-time favorite subject, self." You see, we got to come to a place where we admit that our only source of help comes from God. David said it this way, Psalm 94:17, "Unless the Lord had given me help, I would soon have dwelt in the silence of death. When I said my foot is slipping, your love, O Lord, supported me. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul." What's David saying? He's saying that he was about to die, but yet he was helpless to do anything about it. You see, folks, that brings us to the second thing here, because trust alone for help. God is one of several sources of help for you, but He is the only source of eternal help for you. David said in Psalm 21, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He watches over you and will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will never slumber nor sleep." David lifted up his eyes to the hills, and he knew that God was there for him. Folks, listen, I hope that you know that. And next time you hear somebody say that, you know, God helps those that help themselves, realize that no one ever speaks those words from a place of humility. Most of the time when people speak those words, they're just talking about their own self-assurance and how there's not very many things in life that they need. Next time you hear those words, speak up and say, "No, it's not true." That's a half-truth. It's also a lie that the devil uses to make us arrogant and depend on ourselves. And the truth is that God helps those who seek Him. And if we live that way, what a beautiful life we can have. You know, I read an interesting fact that I don't ever remember hearing before, just this past week, concerning the maiden voyage of the Titanic. Did you know that the Titanic was thought to be unsinkable? Therefore, because they had built it in such a way that they didn't think it could sink, did you know that there were not enough lifeboats on board for everybody? That 3,000 people were on that ship, over 3,000 people, but yet only 700 people were saved because there wasn't near enough lifeboats for everybody on board. 1,700 people perished that day, not because they hit an iceberg, but because people thought they were unsinkable. You see, I think that's where we are sometimes in our arrogance, that we think we're unsinkable, that we can't be touched by the things of this world. And because of our own strength and because of our own abilities, there's nothing in front of us except smooth sailing. Listen, God doesn't want us to be lazy. God wants us to work hard, wants us to try to achieve. But even as he wants us to live that way, he really wants us to live a life dependent on him, because he is our lifeboat. Jesus is our Savior. If we place our life in him, he will carry us safely through these rough waters and dangerous times to a place of eternity with him. Remember, God helps those who admit that they are helpless before him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we do thank you for this wonderful day you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for this strength that we have in you. And God, help us not to fall victim to the lies of this world, to the half-truth, Lord, that the devil tries to get us to live by totally. But may we live, Lord, in the truth that comes only from you. That, Lord, there's a lot of things in this life that we need help with. There's one thing in life, Lord, that we cannot do at all by ourselves, and that's our salvation in you. So, Father, I pray right now that as these wonderful people sing this wonderful song about our praise for you, that God will set aside this lie of the devil, and that we'll live by the truths of your word. For your word, Lord, is eternal, will never pass away, and will give us, Lord, all that we need to be victorious, victorious people of faith who depend totally on you. So God, help us not to say things like this phrase that God helps those that help themselves in anything but humility. But Lord, may we just strive to allow you to work in us and allow us, Lord, to bless other people and to help and to encourage and to lift people up. And to never, Lord, say things like this that would just leave people stranded to their own vices, Lord, and their own ability. But Father, help us to be an example of how people can walk, Lord, into your presence, can be forgiven of their sins, and can live, Lord, a life of faithfulness to you all the days that you give us. Lord, may it be so for all of us as we sing and share together. In Jesus' holy name.